Hey, we're going to say a big welcome if we're working here. I think we're getting some volume.
Oh, can it not be on the loudspeakers at the same time?
Yes, it can. That should be.
Oh, there.
It's actually on there.
There
it is.
See,
hey, not bad. We're going to say a big welcome to the new CSJ network.
Which is your network, Bob.
Hey, that's right. And it's your network, too.
Do you want to tell people what that stands for, CSJ?
All right. Do you think so? Common sense and justice. What do you think? Is that a common? We're lacking common sense. Oh, we need
Speak
to be up
for
just
yourself.
A tiny bit. All right. We're getting some feedback from people that we need to be a tiny bit louder. Hopefully that's working. We're going to see. But we are the on the Common Sense and Justice Network, CSJ Network.
See, you do the common sense.
I do the common sense.
Yeah.
You're going to provide the justice?
No, but I'm definitely not going to provide the common sense. I know that. But anyway, I think we should tell people this is our very first show together.
It is.
Pretty exciting.
It is.
And we're here at the Western Heritage Center in Puyallup to kick off the show for Fred Oldfield's 93rd birthday.
Hard to believe.
And I want to hear a yay from the crowd, please.
Uh-oh.
That was pretty sickly. One more time. Yay.
We're letting everybody know from the, they're listening to the podcast or Bobcast, as some of us say, that this is actually live, being recorded live at the Western Heritage and Art Center. Fred Oldfield, Western Heritage and Art Center. We can't say that enough, can we?
No, we can't. That's great. if they're listening to it on their computers, and it is the computers, I guess, now.
Yeah.
It is the 20th, which day of March?
No, we're actually March 19th, but they're listening on March
23rd. And naturally, the Bobcasts will be available. But tell folks what we're going to be doing today, Bob.
Well, we're going to be having a lot of fun with Fred, of course, because everybody's here to see Fred Oldfield, including us. We're going to be talking a little bit, getting ourselves going, talk to Fred a little bit about the early days. And
yes.
Then we'll be breaking and talking with Supreme Court Justice Gary Alexander, who will be here shortly.
That just will lend us credibility.
No, I don't know.
It looks good when you have a serious guest.
He's not going to stand for re-election, so I hope we don't hurt his credibility. But he agreed to come by and talk about territorial justice, what happened before we were a state. Really interesting things that occurred legally before we were a state. What was the year we became a state? Everybody knows that.
Anybody out there that knows, when did we become? I don't know. Do you know?
Yeah.
I used to. What year?
1889.
Oh, huh.
We
I wasn't
a state.
There.
I don't know what
there.
Number we were, though. I can't tell you that. But Fred probably can. Fred was not actually there when we became a state.
Not actually. You know, I do want to tell the people that are there, here, that one of the things that we will be doing, our last segment today with Fred, will be when he answers questions from the audience. And we have a sheet of paper up at the front as you come in, or I have them here. And we want you to write down questions for Fred. Because as somebody said, this isn't us talking about Fred. This will be giving him a chance to answer questions or tell stories in his own voice that will then be available to you permanently. So that sounds good to me.
I think it does. Now, the thing I want to say, too, is there may be some people, it's hard to believe, Dorothy, but there might actually be a couple people out there who aren't familiar with Dorothy Wilhelm. So
That's
hard to believe, I know, and probably none of them here. But Dorothy, of course, one thing is we know her from is the column that she's been doing in the News Tribune, which is also carried in a number of other papers around the country, because we are broadcasting around the globe, actually.
That's right, and I've been doing that column for 20 years.
I was going to say, I thought
good.
It was about 20 years. We all love to read the column. And we know you from TV days for many years. We won't say how many. but a lot of years of really interesting programming that you've done, and I enjoyed, I know, and a lot of people have enjoyed, segments on the old Cairo radio with Jim French.
Yes.
And lots of fun things. So, and you've also been a guest on that old program Legal Line with Bob Pittman. Oh, wait a minute.
I always look forward to that. And I've got to say, Bob's show, Legal Line, ran almost 20 years.
Yeah, a long time.
Nobody's show runs 20 years. I think Dave Ross is the only one that's been around
Of course, this is a daily program, and I only had to do the weekends, so it wasn't quite so hard.
Yeah, but you had to be legal.
That's true. I had to be legal, at least on the weekends. So we gave legal advice that was worth every penny you paid for it for all those years, still doing it. The disclaimer we better give, because someone might be asking you a legal question, Dorothy.
Well, surely they wouldn't.
They might, though.
No.
Damages resulting from advice given on the program are strictly limited to what you paid for the advice.
That's right.
And we know the admission today was free.
Keep that in
mind. So we've got that available to pay back to anybody.
Well, I know people want us to get Fred up here, but I just want just to establish what we think we're doing. What do we think we're doing? Why don't you, I carefully gave you a little list of unusual laws from other states, and I think we want to set the mood by, why don't you tell us a few of those?
You know, I think the laws, of course, today, a lot of them are very strange. And just before we get to those, but I mean, so we could probably find some new ones that are out there that you really wonder about. You know, the part that always, I shouldn't be serious, but on a serious note, the part you always worry about is we're supposed to know all these laws. And remember, if they say ignorance of the law is no excuse, well, that's really true. I mean, you can end up breaking a law. I see a couple of you out in the audience right today breaking the law right now.
Oh, really? What
and
are they doing?
They've retained me as their attorney, and so I'm having a hard time disclosing
see.
That.
I think... Oh, yes, I'm quite sure
now,
you got it.
I want you to check around the room, though, Dorothy, because in Washington State, apparently you cannot carry a concealed weapon that's over 6 feet in length.
Okay.
So could you check and see if anybody is attempting to conceal a weapon? I see a couple of potential folks out there.
What do you think about the lady's stick there?
Oh, that's right. That actually could be a weapon.
You know, looking weapon
I just hope
there,
she doesn't use it against us.
And she has it charmingly crooked in her knee, so there's no telling. Well, so that's one to watch. What else?
Now, if you're in Kentucky... Because some people I know are heading down to Kentucky right after the program. In fact,
really?
We're broadcasting to Kentucky right now. But it's illegal for a merchant to force a person into his or her place of business, they actually said his back then, for the purpose of making a sale.
No.
Not terrible?
Hard
to believe, huh?
Nobody. I don't think that one's going today.
Now, if you end up in Phoenix, make sure you don't try to walk through a hotel lobby with your spurs on. Now, we got to tell Fred that one.
Oh, yeah.
He's
that's
likely
in Phoenix. When we get him up here, we'll ask.
He's likely to show up. And
I don't know. Remember myself growing up in Montana when it was real common to see, the guys walked around carrying a gun and wearing their spurs. So it was.
Montana's a pretty. We couldn't really find much weird stuff in Montana. So that must be. What does that tell us? Maybe they're following the common sense.
Well,
approach.
You know what the thing is about Montana? My pastor of my church is from Montana, and he does think it's the most wonderful place on earth. In fact, he does say it's the only state that is specifically mentioned in the Bible. It is. It's in Latin, actually, and it's Maria S. Montana. And it means Mary went out into the mountains. But he says it does say Montana. Anyway, he said that he was asked why there are so many people from Montana here in Washington. And he said, well, it's like this. When you're driving out of Montana, when you come to the border, there's a big sign that says you are now leaving God's country. Those who can read, stay. The rest came here. So, well, do you think, that's what he says. Would he lie to me?
No, I'm sure not.
Do you think, now, when by the time you grew up, things calmed down a little, didn't they?
Well, I suppose. I think we had more common sense a few years ago. As I look around the room and look at all the paintings and stuff, and I think there was a common sense element to life many years ago, and I don't know what year we lost. I think we kind of gradually have lost our ability to use common sense. I like the idea of judges using common sense in the courtroom. I mean, I'm a member of the Bar Association. I could be in trouble. Is there anybody here from the Bar Association? But I should always check. You know, I was giving a talk the other day, and I asked that. I always ask it kind of half-jest, and someone raised their hand. I said, oh, my goodness, what am I going to do now?
You're going to have to watch yourself. Now, if you want to, do you want to just continue talking to the lovely people and I'll go find Fred, or do you want to...
I think we should grab Fred. Let's get Fred going. And I think he's making his way slowly.
Oh, Fred, yes, yes.
I
saw a hand raised back in the back. Know. Fred will be making his way.
He's going to get over here, I think.
I bet the nice thing for me to do would be to move over. Oh. Don't you think?
But we kind of want them in the middle. Now, the programs that are coming up, by the way, we're bringing back Bob Pittman's Legal Line. We'll be doing what we did for a couple of decades, I guess, taking general legal questions, trying to demystify the law, translate the legalese, and hopefully point people in the right direction with regard to their legal problems. We're also going to be broadcasting Never Too Late.
That's right.
Dorothy Wilhelm's Never Too Late.
And today, the big special thing, our special guest on Never Too Late today is Fred Oldfield.
That's right. And we're going to do In the Middle with Dorothy Wilhelm and Bob Pittman. So we'll have another segment that will be airing. And what will happen is these will air Wednesdays live, a live stream, and then will become podcasts or Bobcasts immediately thereafter. Now we've got Fred coming in. He's going to come and yep, he's going to join us. We've got to get Fred in the middle here.
I promised him I wouldn't be bossy today.
I know.
I promise that.
Don't worry, Fred. I'll represent you here. Anybody scared by that?
That worries me.
I know. That would worry me too, you know.
Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Fred Oldfield. After a bit on my show, not on Bob's show, on my show, we're going to sing Happy Birthday to Fred because I sent him a card in the mail that was supposed to play Happy Birthday, but when it got there, someone had stepped on it. It wasn't you, was it? Someone had stepped on it, and
I'm not
it didn't.
Talking. I don't have to say anything.
No, I would recommend that you remain silent on that one, and your attorney can speak for you. There was a hoof print on that, I noticed. And I don't know what that means.
Was it a horse's hoof?
I think it might have been a horse. Yeah, I think so.
I would never stomp on anything like that.
No, no.
I was barefooted when I opened it anyway.
So anyway, later on, what?
I just want you to introduce the other celebrity in the crowd. Sweet Ann is here.
Okay. Well, we've had a request from the audience. Where will I find her, Joella?
Right here.
Oh. Well, Fred, can you introduce your very special guest today?
That's right. That is Ann, and she was born March the 18th, 1918.
Yay. So she's very good.
And I've learned to like this lady a lot.
Welcome to Ann. That's really good.
That is wonderful, and how nice. Thank you for bringing her today, Fred. It's going to be fun to have her here with us. And I saw her name on the birthday cake, too.
Yeah, down at the restaurant, where she comes and I go, they call us the twins.
That's great.
See?
A little resemblance
I'm honored.
There. That's
well,
great.
I should think so. That's wonderful.
Where were you born, Fred?
A little place called Alfalfa. And I'll tell you what, I think it's still there. It was about 6 miles south of Toppenish on the Indian Reservation.
Okay.
I've had a lot of fun with that because every place you go, nobody knows where Alfalfa is.
I had not heard of Alfalfa.
They had one place I went to a big doings that gave an award if there was anybody in the crowd that knew about Alfalfa.
Is it
But
still
they wouldn't
there?
Give it to me.
That seems kind of unsporting.
How big is it, or is it gone now?
No, it's just a Grange Hall now, and I go there every once in a while and go out back and fly fish along the creek. And that's about all there. But when I was going to school there as a kid, later they had hitching racks and places for horses, and Indian kids rode horses. They had only 21 people in the school in the eighth grades, and it was a great place. So, the school teacher would cook on a stove, and then at lunch she'd go out and make the kids that had horses tied up, take them out and graze them and water them and do the things you had to do back then.
Sure.
I always remembered that. But I'll tell you one thing about the Indian girls. They were the meanest to us. They were good riders, them kids, and they had quirts made of horsehair. And they were just delighted in chasing us guys. We were afoot.
Did you learn to be very fleet-footed then?
I was very cagey.
You know, Fred, we're surrounded by all these fantastic paintings. I mean, I've been wandering around, and I see some new ones, by the way. But what's your recollection, your first recollection of painting and ever wanting to paint or actually painting?
I can't remember when I didn't want to.
Yeah, is that right?
Going to school, I drew on everything. And
did you get in trouble drawing a few times on textbooks?
My arithmetic wasn't too good, but my drawings were pretty good. So.
Yeah.
But it didn't count back then.
What do you think it was that made you want to draw?
You know, I have no idea. But you look at something, you look at horses, you look at sagebrush and water, and there's something about putting the whole thing together that makes you want to do it, you know.
Well, it's just great. I mean, we all, you look back through the history. I mean, we're going back quite a few years then from your, what was your first painting that was ever in an exhibit or ever presented to the public?
Yeah.
Do you recall?
Yeah.
Do you think it was it a painting or was it a drawing or?
Well, it was probably a painting. I got a hold of house paint when I was about 16 years old, and I got some colors mixed into them, and I painted on everything I found. And then finally, I did a painting for the Scouts, the Boy Scouts, that they put on out at a store on a billboard or something. For people to look at it, and it was in Toppenish then. And that was probably about as far back as I can go where one was displayed.
But, Fred, that wasn't your first painting. Remember, you told me about the painting you did that your brother...
I lie a lot.
I know. But this time, remember, you did a painting that your brother had a definite opinion about.
Oh, definitely. Of course, they didn't show that anyplace.
I see. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, I was out there on the ranch, and I was sitting on actually a cellar door. You know, nobody knows what a cellar was, but you stored your vegetables and fruits in there. And I looked up there at that mountain, and I had these old paints, and I went to paint, and it turned out pretty good. And the guy come out, and he said, yeah, you got to quit punching these cows and start painting. You know? So I was about 16, 17 then, I guess.
Do you remember what the picture was?
Yep. It was a bull thistle.
because your brother said to you.
Yeah, he said, what are you painting that for? It's only an old bull thistle.
I guess I don't.
Hey, I was successful.
I don't know what a bull thistle is, I have to tell you.
Okay. It goes up and it's real sticky and it's got a beautiful flower on the top. And by fall, it's all over you.
But Fred, you said that you were so tickled to know that it looked like something.
Right, and Dick was very critical. Dick. Great guy, though.
And finally, do you remember, he of course you remember, he took lessons from you and began to teach too.
He did. When he was 75, he started painting, and I said, oh, man, what's he going to do? I said, don't try doing horses. You're too shaky. I had a lot of fun with him, but he became quite successful in the last 20 years painting and going to shows, and I think he had a lot of fun doing it too.
I'll bet. Hey, there's quite an exhibit over here in the corner about your life. And I was over there. Everybody hasn't had a chance yet to go through that, it's really great.
And, again, we're at the Western Heritage and Arts Center. And what do you like when you do you go into that corner at all? It says The Life and Times of Fred Oldfield. Is there anything back there that you like to see especially?
Some of the things that bring back memory, but I don't know especially. Did a lot of things. I think fishing and riding and going to the mountains and fishing and things like that really come back
fishing,
to me.
Fishing, I think you liked fishing.
Fishing is a big thing for me.
Why do you think that is?
Because I was hungry. I had to catch some fish.
That's back to the common sense. See?
Yes.
This is good.
We promised people that we would be talking a little about the old-time law today. So, and I think you had, didn't you tell Bob you had an opinion or two about that?
Uh-oh.
Well, have I told it? I have
you
been.
You have told that.
I have been in jail. you know.
Okay.
And thrown in really, it was a put-up deal.
Yeah.
And I wish you'd been around then.
Yeah, I could have.
But you was young then.
That's probably true.
Oh, I don't know. I was with my blind nephew in the bar right after the war, and we were having a lot of fun laughing and talking, and I knew the bartender and two young cops that hadn't been on there when I left years ago, but now they were brand new cops, came in and said, "You guys are, you know, kind of disturbing the peace in here. I mean, you better get out of here or we're going to have to throw you in jail." And the bartender chased them out, the cops, and he said, "This is my place." So we thought that was great. We're having more fun. And then pretty quick we go outside, and my blind nephew, you can't tell he's blind. He walks around, does things like everybody else, but he's hanging onto my arm, and we come outside, and here's the cops.
Oh, boy.
And they grabbed him, and they said, "Hey, you're staggering, and he's having to hold you up." And I said, "Look, the guy's blind." And we only went around a corner. We was arguing all the way. They threw him in jail, and then they threw me in right behind him.
Oh, boy. So you spent the night in jail?
No, I'd just gotten married. My wife had a good job, belonged to the. She was very unhappy with me.
Yeah, I'll bet.
And
you got your one phone call?
I didn't use it. Yeah. They'd call me up and take me up front and throw a checkbook down in front of me because I did have a checking account in town, you know, and because my wife was working. Naturally, I had a checking account. They throw that checkbook in front of me and say, "If you want to pay that fine, no, we'll let you guys go."
Oh.
I said, "I'm not paying that fine because I didn't do anything wrong. We're just having fun." That was on a Friday night. I said, "Tomorrow night there'll be more drunks on that street. Saturday night, and you guys will be hiding someplace." back into jail. Kept doing that.
That's a good way to endear yourself to the police and the judges and everybody, I'm sure.
Be honest with them. They'll beat you up.
Yeah, being honest won't get you anywhere.
No. Say, "You guys are delightful," when you can't hardly say it, you know. Finally, my father-in-law got wind of that, come down and bailed us out. And I wasn't unhappy with him because I was willing to spend the night, you know.
Sure.
But there was some funny things happening there. I remember my nephew he was tight, sure. And he said, "They've got some bunks in there." And he said, "I'll take that upper bunk. We're just going to, stay all night." I said, "Okay, I'll boost you up there." And I boosted him up there, and he landed right on top of an Indian.
Was
sound asleep up there. And, and back on top of me, he came. And the Indian raised up and looked around and went right back to sleep. I've had a lot of fun,
even
in jail.
Have you ever tried to paint your experience in
I never
jail?
Did that one.
That'll be coming up next
year,
maybe. I got a lot
of things to do. Yeah, it'll
be next year. Have you got a favorite thing that you like to paint? I mean, the type of?
I like to do cowboys, really, and Indians. And actually, when I start painting Indians, I don't know as much about Indians, however I was raised with them. But I do know more about cowboys and what they do and their gear and everything. So I do better doing cowboys than I do with Indian things. But the Indians, and somebody should paint them in the transition like I saw them from the time that they still, some of them in teepees until now, and the way they lived and how they were kind of put down. They tried to get them to farm. They didn't want to do that. They weren't used to that stuff. So I'm going to try to get around. In the next 15, 20 years, I'm going to give that a shot.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Well, I understand you've booked this place for your 103rd birthday. So
I understand.
It's a pretty nice place here.
I wouldn't trust these people. They probably went to the 104th.
Oh, no.
Well, I think the audience would love to be here for plan to be here with us for Fred's 103rd birthday. Let's hear it, please.
All right.
So, if you haven't written it on the calendar yet, you should do that.
Me?
Well,
sorry, didn't I tell you I couldn't write?
Yo, you've told me a lot of things.
Yeah.
Fred, what would you say you know, being a cowboy? I mean, there's a code, isn't there? I mean, I talk a lot about law, obviously, mm-hmm. but there's a code, isn't there? A cowboy code, in effect, a way you act and treat other people?
Oh, definitely. You know, you kind of leave them bad words out in the sagebrush. And
yep.
You're always polite to older people. I'm very polite to women. Mm-hmm. And but I've seen it all. You know, and it isn't all just cowboying like you see it now. We worked hard at everything. There's a lot of things like building fence, shoveling manure, building, you know, and branding. And if you ever dehorn cattle, way there's blood spurting all over when you dehorn. There's just a lot of hard work. And then when you go on trail drives, you got to be in that saddle 14 hours a day sometime and 15, and it gets tiring, you know. And all of a sudden, the glory of it wears off. Yeah. You know, you want to get there and get off that horse.
Yeah. Well, we get to look at the paintings of it, but I mean, behind that is all the hard work. I'm looking at one right now over here, and what I can see people returning. It looks like almost at night, and probably after one of those 14-hour days.
The one in the snow here, is that the one you're looking at?
Well, that's one of the Indian things I done, because I do study a lot about Indians, and I enjoyed doing. The Indian things, if it's historic and that type of thing.
This area we're in is actually pretty historic, too.
It is, and I've never painted the coastal Indians near as much as I have the horse Indians. You know, there's a difference in the way they lived and what they used. And I didn't know he was going to get into Indian things. I thought he was getting into law.
That's right. Well, there's a law aspect to it.
I want to get a few cigarettes from you. I may need them.
Well, what back in the day, shall we say, if someone stole a horse, what are we talking from a legal standpoint?
I think they used a rope. That was about all they needed.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, it was a pretty serious offense.
It was very serious.
And I don't know what I would liken it to today. It's not the same as stealing a car, I don't think.
They steal a lot more cars than they did horses.
But I mean, horses are more than just transportation.
I know. I might even have been guilty of being in on swiping a few horses.
Uh-oh. Has the statute of limitations run on that?
I don't know. Does the Puyallup Indians have an in with the Yakimos? Because it was Yakima Indian horses that was stealing. No, we used to round up the Yakima Indian horses on Sunday, and it was a lot of fun. We'd put them in a corral, and then we'd draw straws, and we'd ride them bareback with the mane hold and turn them loose and let them go back again. But we also had a corral, and a ranch was just below there, and the good-looking horses, I think, a few of them disappeared down the creek there.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. But I can't remember too many things about the law and the Indians. There were so many horses when I was a kid. You could actually buy a horse for $5, you know. They run them in there, take your pick. And the rest of them they shipped to the glue factories because there were so many of them.
But it wasn't hard to live within the law, I assume. It's much harder, I think, today to know what the laws are and what makes sense. And I'm guessing it made a little more sense a few years ago.
I think you was more afraid of your dad than you was the law.
Okay.
But,
you know, you did respect the law because you felt like if you was swiping something and they yelled stop, you if you was running, you probably thought you was going to get shot.
You know, Fred, I don't know what you think, but to me, it's much easier today in terms of, I mean, you may not know what you're doing as far as the law goes, but in those days, boy, if you made a mistake, the results were swift and terrible. I mean, now you can mess around for years.
They're not going to do anything to you.
But it wasn't necessarily the legal system as much as it was your family, right?
I think that's right. My dad wanted you to live up to the law. Fact is, I had two older brothers that swiped some things from the graves, you know, that had caved in. And the Indians came to Dad and told him, and he made them take those things back to the Indians and apologize and said, if you ever do it again, we're taking you to town, you know, mm-hmm. to jail.
Yeah,
and boy, you was afraid of that, because that was a law.
I'm not sure that's the case today.
No, I'm sure it's not, in fact. Well, so what did you want to talk about now? Because we're this segment.
I've been talking to my horse. What
You are the star today. So, but what did you hope to talk about the law that we haven't covered? Because then we're going to let you rest your golden throat a while and then come back.
Well, I can remember my two brothers being in jail in Pomeroy, Washington. And I think that it was a way. They took them in, tried to make some money because four of them had been living up in the hills and they killed a deer. And mostly they overlooked you killing a deer back then because you needed the food. And I think it was kind of like making a few bucks for the county or the city. And it wasn't a bad thing, but you're in jail, you got to pay. And same thing with Topnitch with me. You, I could have won that case.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I've got to say, when I was little, though, I was about 4 years old, and the game warden, I had gotten to the point where I added last night to everything I said. So I went up to the game warden and said, "My daddy's shot a buck last night." Well, it was not hunting season.
Oh, good.
It caused quite a bit of trouble. So we had to be careful.
Hey, Fred, we're going to be taking, I know Dorothy's going to be taking our questions, I think, later on the last segment of the day, which will be a lot of fun. People are writing their questions out and leaving them.
If you haven't filled out your question for Fred yet,
and that'll be fun.
Do so.
Yeah.
But
then,
go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, when you finish, I know I said we'd do it later, but there's this wonderful crowd here. I just think we ought to sing happy birthday to Fred while we got him.
Sure.
You will lead because, does Jeff, do you sing? No. Then Bob will.
Well, it's illegal for me to sing.
We ought to say a word about Jeff Pittman, who is our engineer.
Oh, and yes, who's producer singing? Engineer Jeff Pittman over here to our right, your left.
Hello, Jeff. And who would like to lead? We're going to. You don't get to lead. You're the star. Who you want to lead? Come on over. What's your name?
Tess Morgan.
Tess Morgan. We're going to welcome you, and Tess is going to lead us in. You know, you want to say anything to Fred here?
He's just an amazing man.
He certainly is.
Don't you forget it.
You're unforgettable.
I've got a lawyer here.
Please join me. What an honor. I hope I make it to 93.
You will.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear friend. Happy birthday to you and many more.
To Anne.
Happy birthday, sweet Anne.
Yes. And she is also celebrating her 93rd birthday.
Wow.
Okay.
And Fred, 93.
Yes.
Wow. We got to know what you had for breakfast.
You're going to sing to her, too.
We're going to sing to her, too.
All right.
Here we go.
You don't get away there. You test.
We'll sing her happy birthday?
Yeah, please, because it's her birthday.
Sweet Anne, all righty. If you can change the key, it would be nice. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, sweet Anne. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tess.